ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः द आपर्चुनिटी टु हियर् श्रीमद्भागवतम् आर् स्पीक् श्रीमद्भागवतम् इस् मोस्ट् आस्पिशियस् आपर्चुनिटी वै बिकास् विदिन् द पेजस् आफ़् भागवतम् इट् सेल्फ् इट् इस् सेड् आयुर्हरति वै पुंसाम् उद्यन्नस्तं चयन्नसौ तस्य हृते यत्क्षणो नीत उत्तमश्लोकवार्तया इट् इस् सेड् एव्रि डे वित् द रैसिङ्ग् सन् अण्ड् वित् द सेटिङ्ग् सन् वन् पेज् आफ़् द केलेण्डर् इस् टर्न् फ्रम् अवर् लैफ् अण्ड् इन् द सेम् मेनर् वन् आफ्टर् अनदर् अट् द एण्ड् आफ़् द इयर् दर् विल् बि नो मोर् पेजस् लेफ्ट् सिमिलर्ली from our life, the whatever ayu is fixed for us, just like in a tonic bottle you have expiry date. Similarly, with every material body there is expiry date which is written with the birth of the material body. So we all have that much amount of duration in our own hands to utilize it well for enhancing our consciousness. And by enhancing that consciousness, we make one progressive step towards Krishna. Even if we don't become 100% pure in one life, at least we are making a progressive step towards Krishna. Life after life after life, we will become more and more pure. So the time is considered to be well spent if it is focused on purification of heart. Otherwise, life is simply a useless waste of time running around with no capturing no essence in life. So this verse says, Ayur Harati, means our Ayu is slowly being swallowed by the Kala Uraga, and the snake of time. Somebody is devoured up to the knees, somebody is devoured by the Kala Uraga up to the hips, and people who are 80 plus, 90 plus there, up to the neck, only the head is outside. And still they are running around in this world. And somebody, it completely swallows them. It's not only with aging factor, because some people don't live that long also. Death can devour anybody anytime fully. So in the Bhagavatam it is said that tasya rite yat kshano nita uttama shloka vartaya. But those people who are intelligent, they come together in hearing this holy sound vibration of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is actually all about the beautiful, playful and sportive pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Before approaching that, we are given some understanding of the Supreme Lord, so that we can approach the subject reverentially and with proper step-by-step process. So when one hears the subject of Bhagavatam, one will transcend the time. One will go to a zone of timelessness. And in that timeless zone, there is no fear of death, because there is no death at all. There is nothing to fear. So that is how Parikshit Maharaj himself transcended death, transcended time, transcended shoka, moha, bhaya, everything. So this is actually our sole purpose of Bhagavatam study, that we hear the glorification of the Lord and His pure devotees, by hearing which we go back to our original state, go back to our original state of consciousness, which has currently become adulterated. So this is the prime goal of study of Bhagavatam. And that was told in this chapter, which we are approaching now. Chapter 7, beginning, the first 10 verses are very vital. Last time, I think I had to a little bit rush through while completing the previous syllabus. My bag there, the book. So, last time we all heard from Bhagavatam about how Narada, guru of Vedavyas, greatly inspired Vyasa about this sublime message that you should propagate the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is directly proclaiming the glories of Krishna fully without any kind of compromise. So this is chapter 7, Vyasadeva's vision. We saw some of them. You remember this? We were discussing about the importance of staying in the ashram. Correct? Importance of staying in a spiritually vibrant place. It can be a grihastha's home. It can be a temple, brahmachari ashram. Any place which is spiritually vibrant is called as ashram. Ashram is not a place where seven-headed devotees are found. There may be so many seven-headed devotees in so many places. That is not ashram. Ashram is a place which is spiritually vibrant. And if spiritually, if it is vibrant, people, their central subject matter for discussion and relish is the glories of the Supreme Lord. So that was the thing we were discussing, importance of ashram, staying in an ashram. Because while staying in an ashram, inspiration will be given to us to make a progressive step towards Supreme Lord. That is actually the purpose of ashram. So Srila Prabhupada started this movement with this intention only. When Prabhupada was personally present on the planet, you know, Prabhupada kept himself extremely very busy and kept all people connected to him also very, very busy and preoccupied with innumerable devotional engagements, day in and day out. Nobody could get enough, you know, sleep or enough. Life was extremely busy for devotees. Those 12 years when Prabhupada was going around the planet. If you hear about those reports of Back to Godhead magazine distributed, lakhs were distributed, several lakhs. If you see, now now the BTG distributed is not even 1/10 of. We print only very small quantity nowadays. In Prabhupada's times, the number of devotees were less, but the BTGs distributed were 10 times more. Now the worldwide number of devotees are more, and the BTGs printed are very less now. Because Prabhupada's times, Prabhupada gave such a tremendous inspiration. Because he kept all the ashramas very spiritually vibrant. If we can, one iota of what Srila Prabhupada did, if we could do, Prabhupada would be so pleased. So, and ashram is a spiritually vibrant place. So, there was a talk about Vedavyas in his ashram. He had already received an instruction from Narada that you should see the absolute truth not through jnana, not through karma, not through yoga, but through the path of bhakti yoga. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihite amale. He says, samyak pranihite amale. Completely the bhakti yoga vision, with absolutely no mala of karma jnana or anything else. No other material desires. So you have to have that type of vision. So the path that Vedavyas adopted was devotional service. And he was observing the absolute truth, keeping himself in the fourth stage called samadhi or turiya stage. He was not in jagriti or swapna or sushupti. He was in samadhi. Because that was the order that his guru had given him. Post yourself on the platform of samadhi. Adopt the path of bhakti yoga. Observe the absolute truth. And whatever you see, only that much you should write. Don't write anything else. Because what other things you have written, they are all within three gunas. All these different Puranas. You know, if you have health problem, go to Surya. If you want some education, go to Saraswati. You have mixed up mundane stuff with spiritual truth. That is why you have spoiled the whole show, he said. He said, keep the spiritual subject intact. Don't meddle anything with it. That is why you will find Bhagavad Gita ends with an instruction and Bhagavatam begins with that instruction. What is that end instruction Bhagavad Gita says? Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja. He says, I don't say other things are not dharmas, but they are all material dharmas. There are so many dharmas in this world. So he said, beginning with one's own family, one has dharma for mother, father, then one has dharma for relatives and friends. One has dharma for the animals which are giving us service, like the cows and the bulls and the horses and the dog and others. Similarly, there is varnashrama dharma for occupation as well as for religious practices. But there are multiple dharmas. He said, you surrender to me, rise above all those dharmas, he said. There is desh dharma. That is why deva, rishir, bhuta, apta, ninam, pitranam. All these things, he said, keep them aside. You surrender unto me, Krishna said. And the Srimad Bhagavatam begins with dharma prodhita kaitavatra paramo nirmat saranam satam. He says, doing dharma for getting artha for enjoying kama, is kaitava dharma. Bhagavatam declares. It is cheating dharma. Doing dharma to get something to enjoy in this world. Actually, dharma, artha, kama, moksha also, the purpose of asking for artha and kama through dharma is to eventually go to moksha. But both kama and moksha are condemned in Bhagavatam. Kama in this world and moksha in that world, both are condemned in Bhagavatam. Both are considered as motivations, as ulterior motives. Prabhupada calls merging in Brahman as the last snare of Maya. And Prabhupada says it is the biggest and the last trace of envy, he says, which is to merge into the Supreme. So that is also counted as envy. Prabhupada says the envy of the Jiva extends up to Brahma Jyoti, he says. Whereas beyond that Brahma Jyoti, entering into Vaikuntha, only for the purpose of engaging in service of the Lord, that is considered the highest in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That is why, after saying dharma projita kaitavatra paramo nirmatsaranam satam, because spiritual world there is no envy. And if we are in material world, but aiming at that spiritual world for service sake, then we can be free from envy. In this world also. In this world, only those who are aiming at spiritual sky for the sake of service to Krishna, they only can be free from envy. So, if this is a clue for becoming free from envy. Don't aim for anything less than pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord in the spiritual sky. Then one is free from envy. So, nirmacharanam satam vedyam vastamam atra vastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam. Shivadam means most, it bestows the most auspicious thing. Vedyam vastavam vastava vastu, it says. Vastava vastu is Krishna himself. And it unmulanam of tapatraya. It removes the threefold miseries completely. Kleshada, we say, not kleshada, kleshagni. Kleshagni, shubada, moksha, lagutakrat, all those things happen when one takes a devotion service. And Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krita Kimba Parereshwaraha. When this Bhagavatam is accepted, one will realize what is the need of any other smaller scripture. There is a story of how Brahmaji once got a big taraju and kept Bhagavatam on one side and put all the other scriptures on the other side. All the Vedas, Puranas, Upanishads, everything. Still the Bhagavatam was heavier than all of them put together. So then he declared that if you study this one book, it is enough. You don't have to study any other literature. Because other literatures are very fluffy and very elaborate, very exhaustive and totally mundane. Whereas the Srimad Bhagavatam is supramundane, it is transcendental. So, and that is why when the Bhagavatam was about to be spoken by Sukadeva Goswami to Parikshit, the devatas came to the entrance of the Bhagavat Katha Pandal. And they asked, can we also get entry? We came to know that Parikshit Maharaj is about to die in 7 days. By the way, for your kind information, we have brought some Amrit pot with us. We will feed Amritam to Parikshit so that his life can be little bit extended by eating Amrit. And in return, we want a ticket for entering into Bhagavatam class. So, when Sukadeva Goswami heard it, he became angry. He said, they think they can purchase the Bhagavata Divya Jnan by exchanging it with Amritam of this world. Their Amritam is petty and pitiable, because even after eating that Amrit, you still don't become free from fear from the Asuras, like Agasura and others. What is the use of this demigod's Amritam? He said, this Amritam is Bhagavata Katha Amritam. Even if one tastes a few drops of it, one will become free from all fear, shoka, moha, baya. Everything will be gone. That shloka comes in this chapter only. Yasyam vai shruyamanayam krishne parama purushe bhakti rutpandyate pumsam shoka moha baya apaha. So shoka moha baya will be. So Sukadeva Goswami said, because these people are considering our Bhagavatam Amritam to be mundane, throw them out of the pandal, he said. Of course, this is not my words. This is spoken by His Holiness Radha Govind Maharaj in one of his lectures. Who are we to throw demigods away? But the message of the pastime should be understood. The importance is not that they are being thrown away. The importance is how glorious Bhagavatam is. Correct, na? How worshipable Bhagavatam is. So that is explained in this chapter. And Vyasadeva saw with that perfect vision. Three conditions I told you. You should see in Samadhi. You should adopt the Bhakti Yoga. And what is the other one? Whatever you see only, right? And then, so put yourself in Samadhi, and then through Bhakti Yoga when you see, that is absolute truth. And that should be put down, because you should keep yourself on a transcendental platform. See, in the third shloka you see, tasmin sva ashrame vyaso badari shanda mandite asino upaspriśya pranidadhyau manasvayam. Read the translation.
In that place, Shri Vyasadev, in his own ashram, which was surrounded by berry trees, sat down to meditate after touching water for purification.
Yeah. Now he is sitting. And fourth verse, what process of meditation did he use? Bhakti yogena manasi.
Bhakti yogena.
Samyak pranihite amale. Apashyat purusham purnam.
Apashyat purusham.
Mayam chatadapashrayam.
Mayam chatadapashrayam.
What process of meditation did he use? And what vision did he get? Both are explained in this. First line explains what process he used. And what is the outcome of that vision? That is explained in second line. Apashyat means he saw. What did he see? Purusham. He saw the transcendental Lord. Which Lord? Purnam. He saw the Purna Purushottam. He didn't see Maryada Purushottam. He didn't see Lord Vishnu. Or Ramachandra, he saw Krishna, because Purnam, Purushottam, who is that? Krishna. So this is explained by Chakravarti Thakur. The word Purnam indicates that he saw Krishna only. Although Krishna, Vishnu, Ram, all are called as Purushottama. But because it is specifically mentioned, the word Purnam, this indicates only Krishna, he says. Apashyat Purusham Purnam. Mayam cha, he also saw Maya. He saw Krishna, he saw Maya. But tat apashrayam, subordinate to Krishna. Like that he saw. So that means he saw Krishna and Maya side by side, but Maya was subordinate to Krishna. That was the vision he got. So when it is said that he saw Krishna, or acharyas have explained, that means he saw Krishna, all his expansions, all his incarnations, all his energies headed by Chit Shakti, and he also saw all the living entities who were controlled by Maya Shakti, and he also saw the external energy Maya, like that he says. So this is the meaning of, which is not overly inclusive or overly exclusive. Rupa Goswami has explained about when we say Krishna, what does Krishna mean? Krishna means all these things. He saw along with Krishna, he saw expansions, incarnations, energies. Two types of energies. Energies headed by Chit Shakti, which is Antaranga, and Bahiranga Shakti, Maya. Both he saw. And then Maya Shakti, external energy. So here, one who is Vedavyasa is seeing that energy immediately right next to Krishna. What is that energy? Bahiranga Shakti. How do we know? That you know from the next verse. Yaya sammohito jiva. Atmanam trigunatmakam paropi manute nartham tatkritam cha bhipadyate. Read the translation, please.
Due to this external energy, the living entity, although transcendental to three modes of material nature, thinks of himself as a material product and thus undergoes the reactions of material miseries.
This is a very important verse to understand. Very vital verse. You see, the internal energy is compared to moonlight to moon. Whereas the external energy is compared to cloud that covers our vision of the moon. So, moonlight to moon is very wonderful because moon gives moonlight in this world and everybody gets benefit of the cooling moonlight. Isn't it? Moon and moonlight are attached together. They're together. You cannot separate the moonlight from the moon. So Antaranga Shakti is like that. Whereas Bahiranga Shakti is called separated energy. Actually, Prabhupada gives both these examples. Sometimes Prabhupada uses the example of sun and sunlight. Because Krishna, Surya Sama, Maya Haya, Andhakar. Correct, no? Maya is compared to clouds. And why that example is given? Because the clouds come from sun only. But the clouds block our vision of the sun. And sunlight also comes from the sun. But the sunlight is connected to the sun. Whereas the cloud is something coming from the sun which is disconnected from the sun. That is why the sun and cloud example is given. Because one should not think like the Christians who think, Christians have a notion that, you know, Saturn is very dangerous. So dangerous that Saturn can tempt Jesus also. Of course, Jesus was not tempted, but they are many times afraid. Maybe Satan will tempt Jesus also. They think like that. But in our Acharya Siddhanta, we have no fear that Maya may tempt Krishna because Maya comes from Krishna only. The cloud comes from the sun only. So, but the cloud cannot cover the sun, but the cloud can cover our vision of the sun. Similarly, Maya cannot cover Krishna. But Maya can cover our vision of Krishna. So this purport is very important because if we understand this purport, it can increase our affection for Krishna. Let us see how. Somebody read the purport. Okay, read the translation and purport both.
Translation. Due to this
external... And although it's a little long purport, we will not read everything. Part of it we are going to read, especially the first big paragraph. And I'll request all devotees also to see your book. And pay attention to it because when you hear and you see and you pay attention and contemplate on the subject, this difficult subject that's being explained here will become very easy. Yeah.
Translation. Due to this external energy, the living entity, although transcendental to three modes of material nature, thinks of himself as a material product and thus undergoes the reactions of material miseries.
Which means we think, I am this material body. What I look in the mirror. So in some brahmachari ashrams, you know, they put a mirror and they write nearby, you know, you are seeing what you are not. They put like this to remind them. In some brahmacharya ashrams, what they do, they put only this much small mirror, so that you can only see the tilak. Other than tilak, you cannot see your bodily beauty. Because if you put a big mirror, then you're like, oh, I have beautiful cheeks, I have beautiful head, I look very fair, like that, what is that? Lovely face, dimpled chin, eyes are blue, lovely too, curly hair, very fair, or curly tuft, Very beautiful, isn't it? So we may be imagining too many wrong things about ourselves, which we are not, isn't it? So, in this way, here the very first thing is saying, the jiva thinks, paro api manute anartam tatkritam chabi paddhate. Paraha api, although he is transcendental, manute, mantaha, kya mantaha? Anartham, he is saying. He is thinking, I am this body made of 24 elements, I am this, like that he thinks. That's the first thing he explains. Go ahead.
Purport. The root cause of suffering by the materialistic living beings is pointed out with the remedial measures which are to be undertaken and also the ultimate perfection to be gained.
Yeah, the remedial measure is also mentioned, which is the Srimad Bhagavatam itself is the remedy. It's a Sarva Roga Nivarani, Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Bhagavatam, like we say, Prabhupada used to give this example, Sau Sonariki, Ek Loharki. Sau Sonariki means, if somebody may say, I am feeling very miserable because my life is short, okay, you go to heaven. Is it a solution? It's no great solution. Now, heaven also, my life is not so long. Drink Amritam. Your 1,000 years will be made into 1 crore years. Very long life. But still I have to end my body. What to do? Okay, then if you still want a longer duration of freedom from suffering, then you go to Brahma Jyoti. Okay, and Brahma Jyoti, is it the ultimate state? No, that is also a metastable state. There also you can be vulnerable. One falls back again. Aruhya kritrena param padam tataka patanti yado anadrita yushmadangraya, Bhagavatam says. Then where is the place where I will continuously be happily engaged? Then you go to spiritual world. So Prabhupada called the spiritual world as a fountain head of all liberties. This is the word Prabhupada uses. Fountain head of all liberty. Going to heaven is chota mata liberty. And going to Brahma Jyoti is a bigger liberty. But going to spiritual world is fountain head of all liberties. There is no more place to go beyond that. It's the ultimate place. So this kind of remedy is given in Bhagavatam. So Sau Sonarki, when we say, what is the meaning of that? In this world also, there is a way to relieve ourselves of suffering to some degree. But they are all useless because you go from one solution to another. Whereas Bhagavatam is like Ek Loharki, we say, one stroke solution. One hit you do, the job is done. So, which means, Prabhupada used to say, no more material world, no more material body, no more misery. Please repeat. That's all, yeah. So that is one stroke solution, which is Srimad Bhagavatam. Sometimes when you go to preach, people ask, why you guys always talk of going back to Godhead? Aap sikhao, idhar kaise hum shanti se reh sakte hain? Yeah. Actually, in the material world also, the Shanti Sutra is ultimately to surrender to Krishna only. Bhaktaram yagya tapasam formula. Isn't it? So many people think that we can make this world a better place. Somebody was talking to Prabhupada in this tone. So Prabhupada laughed and told him, see, sometimes people say you remove the ghost that has entered somebody. So you may put a till, throw a till at him and chant a mantra to remove the ghost. But if the ghost enters into till only, then what you will do? Then you have to throw away the till. It's useless. Similarly, Prabhupada says, we want to use this material body to get pleasures. But if the material body itself is kleshada, which is suffering producing, dukkha producing, then what should one understand? That means I have to get rid of this material body only. Because I thought that I will use this body to get pleasures, but the body itself is suffering producing, misery producing. Then what should one understand? Give up this material body altogether. Material body includes subtle body also, not only the gross body. So when we become pure devotees, the subtle body is also burned away. Jarayatyashu yakosham nigiranam analo yatha. Kapila says this. This subtle body at that time is burned away. Only the soul remains and he goes to spiritual world. Otherwise, life after life, our subtle body clings to the soul, because subtle body is called body of desires. As long as we have material desire, it clings to the soul. Birth after birth after birth, we keep on taking new grass bodies also. But when we become completely absorbed in Krishna's Naam, Rupa, Guna, Leela, and we refuse to identify with the material world, we totally identify with spiritual world, spiritual personalities, and spiritual activities, then the subtle body has no material component. Then jarayatyashya kosham nigrina manaloyata. Just like a wood contains fire, which you cannot see. But when you lit it up, like that fire comes out. Similarly, in this body also, there is super soul in our heart, who is compared to that fire. So the super soul can be awakened. It's possible in this body. When we awaken the Lord in our heart, what does the Lord do? He glows like fire. And he devours the wood itself. He devours the grass and subtle bodies. That is how the super soul awakening destroys our grass and subtle body once and for all. So much so that we don't come back to this material world. We go back to spiritual world. Although the super soul cannot be normally seen by mundane people, mundane people who see with gross material vision, explained in this verse, and they only see the gross body. At the most, some psychologists, psychiatrists can see the subtle body to some degree. But the super soul is possible to be awakened by study of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, the wood is compared to Tamoguna, smoke is compared to Rajoguna, and fire is compared to Sattoguna. Which means, we rise above the dead wood and the smoke and we come to the fire platform. Then Sattoguna is awakened. And then in the platform of Sattoguna, one can gradually awaken the super soul. Then in Vishuddha Sattva platform, when super soul is, Lord is seen, then one delights in spiritual subject matter more and more. See, we can imagine, even in our covered state, we are relishing so much. We can imagine if we are fully awake, material world will become absent for us. We can delete the material world out of our consciousness completely. And we can fully see the Lord and the spiritual world. Name, form, qualities, activities and everything. So in this way, this is the remedial measure that is explained in this verse. That is, yaya sammohito jiva atmanam triguna atmakam. The three gunas have contaminated us. Karanam guna sangosya sat asat yoni janmasu. They have contaminated us. But paroopi manutte anartham tatkritam chapi paddhite. Although we are para, we are thinking I am anartha. Anartha means the material body. So we have to rise above this consciousness and recognize our true identity. And that true identity is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The soul and his sweet relationship with the super soul, if that is re-established, then one can rise above maya. That remedial measure is called one-stroke solution, where one returns back to one's original nature. Go ahead.
All this is mentioned in this particular verse. The living being is by constitutional constitution transcendental to this material engagement. But he is now imprisoned by the external energy, and therefore he thinks himself one of the material products.
Why he is imprisoned by material energy, by material clutches? Because the jiva is pure, but the moment he contacts the three gunas and identifies himself with the material world, then he makes an endeavor to enjoy, separate from Krishna. That desire to enjoy separate from Krishna is an impure desire. When that impure desire comes, our eating, sleeping, mating, defending, everything becomes impure. For example, eating not to serve Krishna, but to eat for enjoying is considered impure. I am saying this because, you know, we think, you know, eating non-veg is impure, or eating unoffered food is impure. That even newcomers know also. But even as devotees, when you are eating prasad, am I eating prasad to get energy to serve Krishna? Or am I eating prasad to, you know, enjoy my taste buds on my tongue? You know, that one has to see. If I am eating to enjoy my taste buds in my tongue, what is it considered as? It's impure. Then eating is impure. Sleeping is impure. When I am sleeping to make this bodily machine, you know, fit enough to serve Krishna, then it is service to Krishna. When I am sleeping just for sense gratification, especially on a cold winter, we feel very nice sleeping longer with a thick 3-4 blankets over us. It's very nice. Cold winter sleep. Some people say, "Bahut maja aaya." Such a wonderful sleep. I enjoyed my sleep. So somebody sleeps 8 hours, 9 hours. Somebody puts a blanket at 7 o'clock only, and they get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. So then what happens? Then that sleeping is enjoyment. Or somebody sleeping 2 to 4 hours in the day, like that. So then it is impure. Then sleeping is impure, isn't it? Similarly, mating, if a man and woman come together, they mate and produce children and raise them in Krishna consciousness, it is considered pure. Because that is dharma, Krishna says. But if somebody considers sex as recreation and not using it for procreation purpose, or even in the celibate order, if one is doing any of the 8 things mentioned by Yajnavakya, contemplating in the wrong direction, then his mating is impure, isn't it? And defending, we should only defend to save our body, mind, soul for engaging in Krishna's service. That defending is pure. Whereas causing pain to the other living entities unnecessarily to exploit them for one's own enjoyment, that is considered impure defending. So in this way, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, all 4, we should know what is pure, what is impure. So when we do them purely, then the mind will become pure. When mind is pure, then hearing is pure, speaking is pure, acting is pure, then one will be able to hear the sound vibration of the holy name. Yasyam vai shruyamanayam. Then the hearing is very attentive. Then when the hearing is attentive, nivishtastha danugrahat, he says, Sutta Goswami says, viprarsher bhuri tejasaha aham chadya gamam tatra nivishtastha anugrahat. I heard very attentively, he says. So in this way, the sentence which we heard just now about the remedial measure is the Srimad Bhagavatam, but the Bhagavatam also has to be heard purely. And to when the soul comes to this world and contacts the gunas, he becomes impure. Just like walking in the road, your shoe contacts a stool piece, then it becomes impure. You have to put it under a fastly running tap. Then you clean it. So Bhagavatam is like that, fastly running water. With that you have to cleanse away the dirty impurity. Mala, he says. So the sattva, rajas, tama, mala. So this mala can be removed by bhakti bhavana. Bhakti bhavanaya dvastaha sattva, rajas, tamo, malaha. This is by Vidura. Vidura says, by bhakti bhavana, you can subdue and destroy the mala arising from sattva, rajas, tamas, he says, all the 3. So, because of the contact with gunas, we have become contaminated. And because of the contamination, we identify with the material body. And when we identify the material body, then we become very joyful in matter, which is actually called moha. Moha means illusion. Illusion means delighting in impurity. Clinging to bodily enjoyments and delighting in impurity. So, not able to see impurity as impurity, but seeing impurity as wonderful. Like, somebody is eating this. In America, when I was walking by, I have seen, people eating these hot dogs. Hot dogs are this, geese, roasted geese. So, people eat all dirty things. So, it doesn't occur to them that these are impure. They think this is wonderful, correct? So, similarly, avidya means to see impurity as wonderful and chasing after that. So, similarly, the attraction for fleshy pleasures called carnal pleasures. Carnal pleasures means man-woman attraction. Now, you cannot say only man-woman. Now, there is man-man also and woman-woman also nowadays. That also has to be included now. So, this kind of, that's why I told you, attraction for fleshy pleasures. It is actually, whether it is eating flesh or enjoying sex life, these both are due to considering impure thing to be pure. That is called avidya. And we can transcend this attraction by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. I read further.
And due to this unholy contact, the pure spiritual entity suffers material miseries under the modes of material nature. The living entity misunderstands himself.
So then he is captured. See, as soon as I steal something, the police captures me and puts a handcuff. So as soon as the senses are used for a wrong purpose, immediately one is caught by Maya. And then one tries to speculate with the mind, why am I caught? How can I escape the material clutches? So then one starts speculating. That is why it is said, instead of speculating, one should take the instructions of the spiritual master and the scriptures and contemplate on how I can execute that instruction. Our mind should be used for that purpose and not speculate on why am I suffering, you know. Can I somehow or other escape this suffering without surrendering to God? That is called speculation. People don't want to surrender to God also, and they want to become free from material clutches also. It's like a thief saying, I will not go to jail also, and I will continue doing pickpocketing and nobody should catch me. Is it possible? It's foolishness. He is doing the wrong thing, but he doesn't want to surrender to police also, doesn't want to surrender to the sarkar also. He wants to be independent. This is the meaning of a foolish living entity. He doesn't want to surrender to the government, Krishna also. He doesn't want to be captured by Maya also. He thinks I am independent, therefore he is foolish. Yeah, yes.
The living entity misunderstands himself to be the material product. This means that the present perverted way of thinking, feeling and willing under material conditions is not natural for him. But he has his normal way of thinking, feeling and willing. The living being in the original state is not without thinking, feeling and willing power. It is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita that the actual knowledge of the conditioned soul...
See, willing means senses. Thinking means intelligence. Feeling means mind. So the feeling is very important. Why? If we are getting spiritual feelings, then we will use the willing component by engaging senses in Krishna's service. And we will also think about Krishna if our feelings, our spiritual feelings arise. If material feelings arise in our mind, then we will tell the senses to engage in material sense gratification. And we will tell the intelligence also, hey, you also, you know, think more dirty things and give me. You know, like that we will tell. That is why in a family, sometimes the husband is compared to the intelligence and wife is compared to mind. And the children are compared to senses. So the wife's role is very important. If the wife becomes extremely materialistic, then the husband also becomes helpless. Because husband sometimes is controlled by the wife also. And children are controlled by her. She is the person who controls everybody. If a wife is very beautiful and the husband is sold out to her beauty, then Rupavati Bharya Shatru, it is said. So then the husband becomes weak in spiritual strength. And he salutes and serves her material desires. In this way, then the children also are controlled by her. That's how the mind is. If the mind goes by the feeling, so we have to check our feelings. What feelings are arising in my mind? Are there sometimes some spiritual feelings are arising? It's called material humor, spiritual humor. If spiritual humor is arising, we are very blessed, fortunate. Actually, it cannot arise without Krishna's grace, Guru's grace and Vaishnava's grace. It's only by grace somebody can experience spiritual humor. But in the mind, material humor is arising. Material humor means... One's mind is resonating with material world. Then what will happen? Then the mind will try to control the intelligence also. See, intelligence surely is the driver of the car. And the mind is sitting by the side. But the mind can distract the driver by showing different posters. The mind, although mind cannot control intelligence, mind can distract intelligence. And the mind can abuse our senses, misuse the senses. Therefore, Krishna says, man mana. He says, engage your mind in me. He says, because give your feelings to me. Feel for me. Don't feel for matter. Cultivate feelings for Krishna. So by cultivating feelings for Krishna, we can very easily bring intelligence and senses in Krishna's service easily. Yeah.
It is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita that the actual knowledge of the conditioned soul is now covered by the nations. Thus, the
nations means ignorance. Yeah.
Thus, the theory that a living being is absolute impersonal Brahman is refuted herein. This cannot be because the living entity has his own way of thinking in his original unconditioned state also. The present conditioned state is due to the influence of external
from
energy.
Here it is most important from this point onwards. The present conditional state is due to the influence of Maya Shakti, which means that the Maya Shakti takes the initiative while the Supreme Lord is aloof. That means Krishna has taken his hands away from us and he has handed us over to Maya Devi. The Lord does not desire that a living being be illusioned by Maya Shakti. The external energy, Bahiranga Shakti, is aware of this fact, but still she accepts a thankless task of keeping the forgotten soul under illusion by her bewildering influence. The Lord does not interfere with the task of illusory energy, because such performances of illusory energy are also necessary for the reformation of the conditioned soul. Laton ka booth, baaton se nahi manta, they say, no? Lord actually doesn't want to use the stick. Actually, Lord feels very uneasy to directly reform the soul by beating the soul. It's like a father is seeing that the boy is not studying at all. You know, sometimes in families, quarrel happens between mother and father because father shows a stick and mother says you have to be very, you know, compassionate to the child. You know, how you can be so cruel? You know, you are showing the stick. Father says, last month his report card shows 20th rank in the class. He is already in 9th standard now. If he is 20th rank, after 10th standard, what career will he have? He is not studying all day, he is playing cricket. The mother says, no, prem se main samjhaungi. You know, you leave him to me. Now mother is very sweetly explaining to the boy, and the boy goes to 25th rank, further down. Because mother sees that even after speaking sweetly, still the boy is playing all day. And the father sees even after showing stick, still he is not hearing him, he is running away. What to do? Then the father and mother decide that we will hand him over to tuition teacher. This is called Bahiranga Shakti. You know? Because see, if I beat, you are morose. And if you pamper him, then I become angry. Better and outsource it. You know? We will give it to Bhinname Prakriti Rashtada. We will hand over this jiva who is very naughty to Maya Shakti. And Maya Shakti has Trishul in her hands. And she rides on a tiger or a lion, isn't it? And which represents Trivida Tap. So the Trivida Tap is kept only to push the living entity to go back to his original state. There is no other purpose for it. Lord doesn't desire to torture the living being. I don't know whether you have heard, many doctors or surgeons, they will never perform surgery for their own son or daughter. You know that? Why? They have such emotional feelings for the dear one, they are afraid that something wrong should not happen and the surgery fails and the patient dies. You know, they will say, Pitaji ne bete ko maar diya. People will say like that, and also he will be losing his child. So, and their hands will shiver when they do operation on their own child. So they hand it over to another doctor. They outsource it. That's what Krishna does it. He doesn't want to slap or beat the living entity. He says, oh, Maya Shakti, you are my Bhinname Prakriti Rashtada. You I hand him over to you. And don't punish him too much. As soon as you find this fellow becoming proper, you know, coming towards the spiritual direction, then you should release your grip from him. Don't catch him by the neck. You see, sometimes people put their hand like this and catch. You have seen that? They cannot move also this way, that way. But if he releases the grip, you can experience freedom. Correct, no? Similarly, Maya's grip also will gradually be released the more we surrender to Krishna. When our surrender increases, Maya's grip reduces proportionately. We can see that. If Maya's grip is increasing, what does that mean? Our surrender is reducing. That is one proof. If Maya's grip on us is increasing. You see, you don't read Prabhupada's purports for months together. You don't take proper attentive darshan, attentive chanting. you know, we are not associating with devotees properly, we can see Maya's grip increasing. Pagado, pagado, maro, pito. Like that she will catch. And you will find, my Lord, I am getting lost. One will feel oneself getting lost by the current of Maya's river. One will see. Immediately one should run to the Sangha of devotees. Then loudly chant the holy name attentively and hear the katha and absorb our consciousness fully in it. Then we can see that Maya's grip will again reduce. Then you feel yourself free. We can very easily, this is a self-test we can give for ourselves. So, like that he is saying. So, Lord, and then he is saying, the Lord does not interfere with the task of illusory energy because such performance of the illusory energy are also necessary for reformation of the conditioned soul. So, the example was given by Prabhupada. One devotee became very upset hearing about Krishna handing over the jiva to Maya. He said, Prabhupada, that means Krishna is cruel. Prabhupada said, no, Krishna is not cruel. Krishna is very compassionate. But he said, but what kind of compassion is this? That we are being, you know, covered and kicked by Maya potency, you know, Avaranadmika and Prakshepatmika Shaktis. Then Prabhupada gave this example, one father and son example of how the son wanted to put his finger into the fan, running fan, because he wanted to see how it feels. But father was chastising him. But father's friend suggested, you see, you stop the fan, when it becomes very slow, let your son put the finger. Then he'll get an experience. So when the fan's blade started moving slow, then father let the son put the finger and hit it. Tuck! It hit once. The son felt so much pain. Then he started the father, my Lord, now I understand why you told me not to put the finger. When it is so slow, it is so painful. If it was faster, I don't know, my finger would be lost. Now the boy learnt a lesson for life. He will never ever put the finger. So this is how Krishna's handing over to Maya is explained. Prabhupada said, this is how, actually, that devotee was arguing with Prabhupada. But Prabhupada, why not Krishna take away my free will and keep me permanently in spiritual world? Because why should I? Because he gave me free will, that is why I am suffering like this now. So let him take away my free will. Prabhupada said, no. Because free will means to, you are given a chance to love or to rebel. If you say take away the rebel part, only love part, you keep it and take away the free will. Prabhupada said, you want Krishna to make you a machine, Prabhupada said. Because machine has no free will. Therefore, machine cannot love also. So, Prabhupada said, the Jivatma is not a machine. Jivatma is a part of Krishna. Whatever is there in Krishna is there in Jiva also. Like, you know, Krishna is Swarat, supremely independent. So Jiva is also minutely independent. Krishna is Abhijna, fully knowledgeable. Jiva is also minutely knowledgeable. Because Krishna is independent, we also should have some amount of independence with which we can love Him or turn away from Him. And when we make the choice to love Krishna, then the sambandha is very sweet. So in this way, Prabhupada explained this phenomenon of how Krishna hands over the jiva to Maya for reformation. And then further he says, read the example, an affectionate father.
An affectionate father does not like his children to be chastised by another agent. Yet he puts his disobedient children under the custody of a severe man just to bring them to order. But all the affectionate father at the same time desires relief from the for the conditioned soul, relief from the clutches of the illusory energy. The king puts the disobedient citizens within the walls of the jail. But sometimes the king, desiring the prisoner's relief, personally goes there and pleads for reformation. And on his doing so, the prisoners are set free. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Supreme Lord descends from his kingdom upon the kingdom of illusory energy and personally gives relief in the form of the Bhagavad Gita, wherein...
That means why the Lord descends as incarnation in this world. Because the Lord, although He has handed us over to Maya, the Maya Shakti, still He is very anxious. What happened to my children? So many of them have gone. But the Lord feels that I don't want to just hand them over to suffer, but I will go and give them some inspiration by which they can come back to me. So the Lord, it's not that He is doing a remote job in the material world. He becomes Mahavishnu, He expands as Garbhadaksha Vishnu, and when Mahavishnu is the one who glances at the spiritual world, takes the jivas and puts them in the material world, and then sends them into the universes. Inside the universe, when He becomes Garbhadaksha Vishnu, from His navel when the lotus comes, inside the lotus there are millions of jivas which are shining like diamonds. So, and one of them is the best jiva. Who is it?
Brahma.
Then Lord makes Him the leader of the universe. And then He tells Brahma that you give bodies to these living entities. So Lord makes arrangement for the bodies to be supplied to all of us. And also when the jivas start fighting with one another and quarreling due to rajoguna, tamoguna and everything, then the Lord arranges the Vedic knowledge. He gives it to Brahma and tells Brahma the Chatushloki. You hear it, now you expand on it and you hand it over in Guru Paramparas, four Paramparas. And then let all the jivas gain the knowledge and stop quarreling, fighting for proprietorship and enjoyership and controllership. Then let them, their hearts become cleaned. And then He paves way for us to return back. In this way, He comes and performs leelas. When leelas are done, that becomes a Tirthasthalam. So then there are temples in those Tirthasthalams depicting those leelas. Then people come to the holy places. There are holy rivers which are touched by the large lotus feet. There are holy temples. There are holy spots like this. And in those holy places, the saintly persons go to recite so that they can get chance to glorify the Lord. Then thousands of lakhs of people come there and hear the saintly people. So in this way, Lord has made very, very great arrangements for making a plan for transporting us from this world to that world. He has made arrangements in multiple ways, as the holy books, the holy devotees, holy Lord, and holy places and everything. Yeah, this is the reason for His descent. And then He says, He personally suggests that although the ways of Maya are very stiff to overcome, one who surrenders to Krishna, what is this verse? Daivi Hesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya. If you know only the first line, you will get depression. And you know the second line is what? Mameve prapadyante mayametam tarantite. Second verse gives hope. Correct, na? It's a hope-giving line that if you surrender to Krishna. So if somebody knows only the second and he doesn't know the first, then they take Maya a bit cheaply. Prabhupada, that's what Prabhupada said. I am afraid that my followers are not sufficiently afraid of Maya. That's what worries me, Prabhupada said. So we have to have sufficient fear of Maya so that we can firmly take shelter of Krishna. And then below he says that this surrendering process is the remedial measure for getting relief from the bewildering ways of Maya Shakti. The surrendering process is completed by the influence of association. The Lord has suggested, therefore, that by the influence of the speeches of saintly persons who have actually realized the Supreme, men are engaged in His transcendental loving service. The conditioned soul gets a taste for hearing about the Lord, and by such hearing only is gradually elevated to the platform of respect, devotion, and attachment for the Lord. This is how sequentially you have to increase. Respect, devotion, Shraddha, Ratir, Bhakti, Ranukramishyati. That's what Prabhupada has written. The whole thing is completed by the surrendering process. This means that the conditioned souls are being reclaimed by the Lord both the way, by two ways. One is by the Guru without and by super soul within. Lord in the heart also and Guru without. Both ways is reclaimed. So, come to text number 6. Anartho pashamam sakshat.
Anartho pashamam.
Bhakti yoga madokshaje lokasya janato vidvams chakre satpata samhitam. I read the translation.
The material miseries of the living entity which are superfluous to him can be directly mitigated by linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled the Vedic literature which is in relation to the Supreme Truth.
Yeah. So in this way, the root cause of misery was explained in the previous verse. And the remedial measure is mentioned here, the linking process of devotion service. Bhakti yogam adokshaje. That is the solution given. Anartha upashamam sakshat. Upashama means no destruction, to destroy the anarthas. We have to do bhakti yogam, adokshaje. That's the solution given. And lokasya ajanato, unfortunately the common people do not know. Therefore, chakra is sarpata samhitam. Therefore, Vyasadeva has given the absolute truth in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yasyam vai shruyamanayam.
Yasyam.
Krishne paramapuruṣe. Bhakti rutpadyate pumsaha. Shokamoha bhayapaha. This verse explains the extraordinary power of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Translation?
Simply by giving oral reception to this Vedic literature, the feeling of our loving devotional service to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sprouts up at once to extinguish the fire of lamentation, illusion and fearfulness.
Yeah. So utpadyate means it produces bhakti. Chakravarti Thakur translates bhakti as prema. Love for Krishna awakens by the hearing of the Krishna Katha, who is the Paramapurusha. See, earlier I told you Purusham Purnam. Now, who is that Purusham Purnam is explained as? Krishne Paramapurushe. Correct, no? It's reconfirmed in this verse. Because somebody may, maybe it's Vishnu, maybe it is Ram. Now, don't speculate anymore. Krishne Paramapurushe. It says here, in this place. And Bhaktir Utpadyate Pumsaha. So, the corollary benefit is also given. Corollary benefit means sometimes you go to market to buy something. Say, you are going to market to buy some big commodity. Say, you are bringing a washing machine. But along with that, you may also buy some sabji also. Because anyway, you are going to market. Like that, he says, you will get Krishna Prema. That's the real goal. But along with that, Shoka Moha Bayapaha. That also will be mitigated. Corollary benefit. He says, that also you get. So, Chakravarti Thakur says, oh, simply by hearing Bhagavatam, you get prem. How easy it is. Like that he says. And then he says, what if someone speaks it? Not only he hears it, but he also, if you speak it to others, then you are even more fortunate, he says. What if someone makes others recite Bhagavatam? He says. That means you not only speak, you make many, many more people speak. And this is the reason in our Pune we have been emphasizing that we should start Bhagavatam study circles everywhere. Correct, no? In congregation, amongst brahmacharis, amongst boys. Because when we make small circle of devotees, 6, 8, 10 devotees coming together, those devotees will become very thick in the relationship, in understanding of one another also, with Krishna in the center. And by studying Bhagavatam, they can rise above the smoke. Like the smoke of this material world is the three gunas. We can rise above them and situate ourselves on a transcendental platform. So in this way, this glorifies the power of Bhagavatam. And then Vyasadeva is telling Shukadeva in the 8th verse, please read the translation.
The great sage Vyasadeva, after compiling the Srimad Bhagavatam and revising it, taught it to his own son, Sri Shukadeva Goswami, who was already engaged in self-realization.
Yeah, this triggers the question. Shukadeva, he heard Bhagavatam. What do you mean? He was a Brahman realized jnani. We already heard about him, you know, in that verse. Yam prabhrajantam anupetam upeta krityam dvaipayano virha katara ajuhava putreti tanmayataya taravobinedustam sarvabhuta hridayam munimana tosmi. Like this, Sutta Goswami praised his guru, Shukadeva Goswami, as one who was a Brahman realized jnani, who walked away from his father immediately after birth. Why? Because it is said that he was so realized that he was not affected by the women who are bathing in the waters practically with no clothes in their bodies. He was unagitated by even seeing such a sight, and he proceeded like an innocent child who does not know difference between man and woman. Such a jnani purusha, Shukadeva, who went to forest. Now you mean to say he came back and he heard Bhagavatam? You know. So this raises a question. Shaunaka Uvacha, see, immediately they are asking. Shaunaka Adrishti is asking. Shaunaka Uvacha Savai Nivritti Nirataha Sarvatro Pekshako Munihi Kasyava Brihati Metam Atma Rama Samabhyasat Yeah. Translation?
Shri Sukha Saunaka and Sut Goswami, Asasinu Sut Goswami. Shri Shukadev Goswami was already on the path of self-realization, and thus he was pleased with his own self. So why did he take the trouble to undergo the study of such vast literature?
Yeah, because if actually jnanis study Puranas, Upanishads, Vedas, everything they may study, ultimately come to Vedanta, and after the realizing the Vedanta, they have to only meditate. Huh? He went to forest, he must have sat in meditation on the absolute truth. Huh? You know, he was a Brahmavadi. Huh? Then why did he wanted to study any further book? Was he having some doubts? Huh? Was he not fully realized? No, he was fully realized. So there is no reason for him to study any more books. Huh? Or did he come home because he started feeling some attachment to parents? Huh? Wanted to meet the father? No, he was fully detached. Huh? No more material attachments, completely. Did he suddenly get a desire to get married or something? Huh? No, he never married also, ever in future. Huh? He remained a celibate all his life. Then why did he come back? You know? Or was his study incomplete? Due to which, you know, he wanted to complete it by hearing something more. No, his study was complete. So complete that his knowledge turned into understanding and understanding turned into full realization. He was fully realized. He was seeing the absolute truth everywhere. His eyes are called as Vivekta Drishtihi. See, what words are used? Tasya Putra Mahayogi Samadrik Nirvikalpakaha Ekantamati Runnidro Mudo Iva Iveyate. That verse says, Tasya Putra Mahayogi. He was a Mahayogi. He was such a realized transcendentalist. Samadrik. He was already a Pandita Samadarshina. Nirvikalpakaha. He had attained the Nirvikalpa Samadhi stage of not getting agitated by matter at all. And then the words are used, Ekantamathir. He had a one-pointed attention. He was not multi-branched intelligence. He had a one-pointed intelligence on the absolute truth. Ekantamathir. Ut Nidro means his consciousness was beyond the darkness of material world. Unnidro. And the next verse, last word says, Vivikta Drishte, which means his vision was perfect, spotless. Then why did he come back? The answer is given. The 10th verse, immediately Sutta Goswami gives this verse. Sutavuvacha
Sutavuvacha
Atma Ramascha
Munayo
Nirgrantha Apyurukrame Kurvantyahaitukim bhaktim Yetham bhuta guno harihi. Translation.
All different varieties of Atma Ramas, those who take pleasure in Atma or Spirit Self, especially those established on the path of Self-realization, though freed from all kinds of mental bondage, desire to render unalloyed devotional service unto the personality of Godhead. This means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, including liberated souls.
Yes. Therefore, this verse is like the milestone from where you will find that the rest of the coming chapters, next 4 or 5 chapters, are going to be flooded with nectar. Because he said, you know, Lord Hari, what are his auspicious qualities? His qualities are so great. Who will not be attracted to him, including the liberated Atma Ramas, who never turn towards dead matter, who never are attracted to Dhanam Janam Sundaram? Such people also, Lord Hari is so attractive to them also. In fact, actually is attractive only for them, truly speaking. Others' attraction is not proper attraction. The attraction of liberated souls is the real attraction for the Lord. He said that even such souls like Chatushkumaras, when they went to the spiritual sky, seeing Lord Vishnu and smelling the tulasi in the lotus feet of Vishnu, they were so stunned. You will find a picture with one Kumara watching Lord Vishnu's lotus feet, another Kumara watching his face, another Kumar watching his hands. And the Lord's body was like a beautiful lotus, bluish, sapphire. So they were so stunned seeing the beauty of the Lord and shed incessant tears of love. So in this way, even the Jnani Purushas become attracted to Lord's name, his qualities, his habits, his behavior, his pastimes, everything. So like that, Sutta Goswami said, And Sukadeva Goswami was definitely Atmaram, self-satisfied. But because he was self-satisfied, from that platform he could appreciate the Lord's qualities and everything. And then the next verse, 11th verse, he says that Sukadeva Goswami was not only transcendentally powerful, he was also very dear to the devotees of the Lord. Thus he underwent the study of this great narration. Like that he says. So he says that generally jnanis are not dear to the devotees of the Lord. And here it says, Nityam Vishnu Janapriyaha. Because the devotees run away from jnanis. Or they hate the association of jnanis. Because jnanis never glorify the Lord. They are always more focusing on the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. So but devotees, here it is said, last line says, Nityam Vishnu Janapriyaha. That means Sukadeva Goswami became a first-class devotee, having become attracted to the Lord. And then Suta Goswami addressed the rishis by saying, now I shall begin the transcendental narration of Lord Krishna on topics of the birth and activities and deliverance of King Parikshit, the sage amongst kings, as well as topics of renunciation of the worldly order by the sons of Pandu. Like that he says, but he is not going to tell story about Parikshit very easily. Because he is going to get transcendentally distracted to talking the glories of Krishna's pastimes in several chapters from here, which we will begin when you come back. Shri Prabhupada ki.